turn you all into Catholics because I make you get up and down, up and down, up and down, prophet. I'm sorry. I haven't asked you to kneel yet, have I? Because I made you get up and down so often. When I start asking you to kneel, you're all in trouble. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to inspiration, the woman I'm about to introduce is stellar. When it comes to substance and fortitude, this woman is beyond reproach. When it comes to stepping up to the plate for working families, this woman not only steps up to the plate, but she lives there. She has a 98% Ask Me voting record. What's Cheney's voting record? Oh, never mind. She has spent over 30 years in the public service. And she has set her sights for the highest position in the land. And on a personal note, when my son was injured, the first call I got was from Senator Harkin. And when Senator Harkin ran into roadblocks, he called Senator Clinton because she's the appropriations director. She removed all those roadblocks, and my boy was back in the United States in 4 days. That don't happen. And for that, I'm very grateful, not only to Senator Clinton, but to Senator Harkin. Sisters and brothers of ASPE, Council 61, please welcome to the great state of Iowa, the great senator from New York, the Honorable Hillary Rodham Clinton.
I'm delighted to be here with all of you tonight, and I want to thank Danny and his entire team. I know how hard Danny and Marcia worked to make an event like this happen, and I'm grateful to him and grateful to him for his leadership. And you know, all the standing up and down is a little aerobic exercise, and so I'm part of some plan that Danny has to get Ask Me in even better fighting shape to get ready for the future. I am so pleased to be here with your international president. Jerry McEntee is a great friend, and he has been on the forefront of the American labor movement. Remember that old advertising, you know, when somebody talks, everybody listens? Well, when Jerry talks, everybody does listen, because he understands all of the stresses and the strains that we're facing in the country and what we need to do to try to start acting like Americans again, rolling up our sleeves and getting to work and solving problems. And I appreciate his friendship and his leadership. And that's right. When I said nice things about him, he was leading the applause. There's nothing shy or retiring about my friend, Jerry McEntee. Two other great people who are here who serve this state so well and are so beloved. That's Tom and Christy Vilsack. I'm so happy they're here with us. Yes, thank you. You know, this is kind of a festive occasion here in this dome and all that's going on with your meetings. Jerry told me he talked to you for, what, 2.5 hours earlier today. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to do a couple of things. You know, it's not the time or occasion for some long, formal speech. This is a time for celebration of everything that all of you have done together on behalf of yourselves and this union and working people here in Iowa. And it's also a time to remind ourselves that we have a lot of work to do in this country. And I believe that America is ready for change, that we are ready finally to turn the page on George Bush and Dick Cheney. Now, I know that a lot of us wish we could turn that page today. You know, it's a little hard waiting until finally they leave the White House. But I'll tell you this. As soon as they leave and as soon as I'm there, we're going to get back on the right track in America again. And what is it we're going to do together? Well, I'll tell you, we're going to set some big goals again as a country. You know, we're going to start treating people who do the work that makes America work with respect and dignity again. We're going to be sure that if you're working hard, you're going to get rewarded. You're going to get the pay and the benefits that you deserve to have. And we're going to make sure you get the health care that you deserve to have as well. There's so much that we're going to have to clean up after when finally the Bush-Cheney years are done. But I'm confident we can do it together, and we're going to start by, once again, supporting the right to organize and bargain, which is a fundamental human right and key to America's future. And we need a partnership to do that. We need to be working together to set the stage and to do the hard work. And people say to me all the time, well, you know, do you think America's best days are behind us? I say, are you kidding? America is about the future. America is about doing better tomorrow. America is about standing up and being counted and following the values that made us a great country. Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do, but we're up to it. We just got to get back to what made America the country that we love so much. And I don't think you can talk about America if you don't talk about the American middle class. You know, people who work hard and do their part and save and invest and give their kids a better future. You know, every one of us want life to be better for our children. And I was honored to help Danny when Brent got hurt and get him home to his family because, you know, as a mom, I know what that must have been like. That's what we live for. That's hard to see when America worked well. You know, we were doing what we needed to do. We were on the right track before this president came into office. You know, we had an economic policy that worked for everybody, not just for the rich and the privileged. We were creating 22 million new jobs that gave people hope for the future. And we actually had people in the Department of Labor and in the National Labor Relations Board who were pro-labor. They actually cared about working conditions and wages and hours and wages and all that needs to be done. So here's what I hope we can do together. Now, number one, we've got to have universal health care, quality, affordable health care for every single American man, woman, and child. Now, you know that I worked on this 1993 and 94, and We didn't get it done that time. Jerry McEntee was one of our greatest allies because he understands it. And he knows how much your health care means to you, how you've bargained for it, and how we have to protect it so that you have what you need for yourselves and your family. But we don't take care of every American. We have more than 45 million Americans with no health insurance. I see these people. They call me for help. They come to my events in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids and Des Moines and Sioux City and so many other places. And sometimes they'll raise their hand and ask a question in front of everybody. But more often they'll come to me as I'm standing there talking and signing things and listening. And they'll say, "Senator, my son is sick and I don't have any health insurance." Or, "I have insurance, Senator, but I might as well not have it because the insurance company won't honor it." Well, we're going to change that. We're going to make sure that everybody does have health insurance they can count on, that can't be taken away from you or your family. We're also going to create millions of new good jobs again. We're going to get this economy moving. You know, Iowa's doing well, and part of the reason is because under Governor Vilsack and now under Governor Culver, you've made a smart investment in new energy to create those jobs from one end of the state to the next. You know, if America were as far along on energy independence as Iowa is, we would be creating those jobs. You know, we have got to get away from our dependence on foreign oil. We cannot afford to be spending billions of dollars that go to regimes that don't like us, that are working against us. So this is not just a good thing to do. This is necessary for us to get ourselves to be back in the driver's seat around the world. And it is important to deal with global warming, but it is also an economic opportunity to create jobs in wind power and biofuels, whether it's corn ethanol or cellulosic ethanol or biodiesel or so much else. And when I'm president, we're going to have a real energy policy that will create millions of those good green-collar jobs for people across our country. And we've got to get back to making the education system work for everybody. Again, I look to Iowa. I applaud Iowa for investing in pre-kindergarten. That's an important issue because we need to give every youngster a chance to have a good start when they go to school. And we've got to fix No Child Left Behind. It's an unfunded mandate that has come down upon our schools and our teachers. And let's make college affordable again for every single middle class and hardworking family. But let's not forget that most of our young people will not graduate from college. And these are good, decent, hardworking people. And we need to do more to give them the support and the skills they need and respect the work that they do around our country as well. So let's have more technical schooling and more community colleges that are open and more apprenticeship programs. We have a lot of work to do in this country, and we're not giving the chance to enough young people to be part of America's future. And we're going to change that when I'm president. And you know, we're going to have to reform the government when we get it back. And let's start by ending these no-bid contracts that go to the cronies of the Bush and Cheney administration. And let's quit outsourcing our government to all of these contract employees. I want to cut 500,000 of these contract employees. They are not proving to be cheaper as advertised. They are totally unaccountable. I am tired of sending off important functions of the United States government to people that don't perform. They didn't perform in Iraq, and they don't perform after Katrina along the Gulf Coast. Let's end this outsourcing of America's policies to countries and companies. You know, we got to get back to an old-fashioned idea, something that Ask Me stands for. Let's get back to appointing qualified people to do the job we expect them to do in our government for a change. And as we reform our government, we're sure going to reform the way that our unions have been treated, our workers have been treated. It has been a constant battle, as Jerry and others can tell you. You know, we have a Department of Labor that has tried to, you know, undermine and oppose labor at every turn. We have new rules that have been put into place that harass unions and load you up with bureaucracy. We have a National Labor Relations Board that won't ever make a decision, which just gives a lot of opportunity for organizing drives to be derailed and undermined. There is so much to be done to get back to supporting the right to organize. Now, why do I say that? Well, because I believe that labor unions are essential to continuing and growing the middle class. I mean, if you look... if you look at what has happened in the past 50, 60 years in our country, there is no doubt in my mind that one of the reasons we've enjoyed such a high standard of living is because the American labor movement organized workers and gave them power and authority to bargain for better wages and working conditions. And if you stand in the way of organizing and bargaining collectively, you are essentially undermining the middle class in America. I will be the president who signs the Employee Free Choice Act. We will get back. We will get back to leveling the playing field so that you can get out and organize and you can get out and know that the government is not against you. That, you know, your government understands the important role that you play in our society. You know, we're going to get back to a fair tax system. You know, most of the benefits and the tax cuts that President Bush has pushed through have gone to the very richest of Americans. I think we need more middle-class tax cuts. We need to support people as they raise children, as they care for the elderly parents and grandparents. We have to make it more possible for middle-class families, once again, to have a rising standard of income. You know, in the last 6 years, the median family income in America dropped $1,300. You know, we're not keeping up, and everybody knows that. So we've got to do more at home to get back to where we've got, you know, fairness and balance in our government. And you can't do that if the only people you want to take care of are already billionaires. So we're going to start taking care of the vast majority of Americans again, because that's who's made this country rich and great. You know, there's a lot of work to be done. When I was in Des Moines over the 4th of July, and I said, you know, we're going to have to get into the White House and start cleaning up. We're not even sure all the messes we're going to find, but we're going to have to do a lot of cleaning. A woman yelled, well, that's why we need to elect a woman. We're good at cleaning. And I said, well, you know what? We are good at cleaning. And yet we're going to need everybody to be part of this, because our country is better than what we've had as leadership for the last 6.5 years. You know, we've had an experiment in extremism, and it sure hasn't worked. It hasn't worked here at home, and it hasn't worked around the world. And we've got to change direction in dealing with other countries as well, starting with bringing our troops home from Iraq as soon as possible. We're fighting to do that in the Congress. You know, you may have read, we stayed up all night the other night trying to get the Republicans to vote with us to begin to set a timetable for bringing our troops home. We got 4 of them, but we didn't get enough to move forward. But we're not giving up. We're going to keep trying, and we're going to keep doing everything we can to persuade or require the president to begin getting us out of the war that is his war. This war is George Bush's war. He rushed us to war. He waged a preemptive war. And he failed to listen to his military experts or any other experts. And now we're facing, you know, some very tough decisions. You know, you may have read that I asked the Pentagon if they're beginning to plan for us to be able to redeploy our troops, because I'd been hearing that they refused to do that. They don't want to plan for it because the White House doesn't want them to admit that they have to plan for it. Well, as any of you who have served our country know, if we begin to move troops and equipment, that's complicated. It has to be done in a careful, orderly way, and it takes planning. So I asked them to come and give us a briefing to tell us what they were doing to get ready. And I got a letter back from one of Cheney acolytes in the Pentagon saying, "How dare you ask these questions? You're giving aid and comfort to the enemy." Well, you know what? They tried that for a couple of years, didn't they? But that's over now. No one who stands against this war and wants to protect our troops has anything to answer to anybody in this administration. And they have no right to impugn the patriotism of anyone who does. So I'm excited about how we're going to get back and start doing what we need to do. You know, we're going to deal with all these big issues. We're going to make sure that we start having laws that protect your pensions, that protect Social Security, get away from these crazy ideas of privatizing Social Security, another one of those Bush ideas that never should have seen the light of day. Because we want people to start living in dignity and with respect again. And we need a government that's on your side. And we need to once again restore respect for the United States around the world. Some of you have heard me tell this before, but it really does sum up what I believe and what I'm going to try to do as president. Because obviously, I hope I can earn your support for the Iowa caucuses. I hope that I'll be able to convince you that I have the strength and experience to be the leader that we need starting in January 2009. Obviously, I'm proud to be running as a woman. It's exciting. But I'm not running because I'm a woman. I'm running because I think I'm the best qualified and experienced person to do the job, to hit the ground running in 2009. I also believe that with my experience and with the support of my husband, we'll be able to begin to repair all the damage that's been done around the world. Starting the day after I'm elected, we'll send out the message to people that we want to work with them. We want to have alliances with them. You know, we know that any problem we deal with in the world, whether it's global terrorism or global warming or bird flu, we got to work with people. And we will make sure that that message is delivered. But what I hope is that we can begin once again to be proud of our government. Because after all, in a democracy, we are our government. It's a little hard to believe right now when we see so many things we don't agree with. But that's who we are, and that's why we need a government that reflects what is best about our country. You know, my friend and our former Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, was asked in 1995 to go to Europe to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the end of World War II. And she was more than happy to go because, as some of you may know, she was born in the former Czechoslovakia. And her family had to deal with both Nazism and communism. So when she went, she started traveling around, and particularly behind what we used to call the Iron Curtain. And she kept seeing American flags. But when she looked more closely, she realized that those flags had only 48 stars. She asked people, "Where did these flags come from?" And everybody told her the same thing. That when the American GIs liberated Europe, they passed out those flags. And in 1945, you know, Alaska and Hawaii weren't states yet. So that's why we had 48 stars. And people had saved those flags. They'd passed them down from grandparent to parent to child. And they had kept them at some risk to themselves because, you know, if the Soviet occupiers had known that they had that flag, they could have gotten into trouble. So Madeleine asked them, "Why did you save these flags all these years, and everybody said the same thing, because we love America, because we love America's values, and we always hope that someday we'd be able to live in freedom like Americans. I want to be the president who restores that feeling about America around the world, and equally importantly, I want us to believe that about ourselves again. We are a good and great nation, and if we work together and we have leadership that believes in the best of America, we can renew the American dream right here at home, and we can restore America's standing and leadership in the world. That is what I offer, and I hope you will help me make it come to pass. Thank you all very much, and God bless you.